Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, starting to read in the first chapter, reading through into the beginning of the second chapter.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing among you while I was with you, except Christ Jesus and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Just a few simple thoughts about that reading before we proceed with the communion. It's obvious from that passage that Paul is responding to some criticism that he's received, some opposition even from some of his opponents in the church. Different kinds of criticism from different groups. There were those who were schooled in Greek philosophy and thought of themselves as rather wise, who looked down on his kind of preaching and said it was much too simplistic, almost childish, if you like. And then there were others, notably of the Jewish kind of faction within the church, who said, what we really want to see are some works of power, some demonstrations of the power of God. Paul's reaction to both strands of criticism is to say that he is going to stick to what he is doing, which is to affirm the centrality of the message of the cross. Verse 18 again. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, It is the power of God. Never mind about you Greeks and your wisdom. Never mind about you Jews wanting signs of power, miracles. The main thing to concentrate on is the message of the cross. So can I ask you this evening? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up and say, but do you know what the message of the cross is? This thing that Paul says is the most important thing. It's the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Do you know what it is? Could you explain it to someone? A man in the street, if you got into conversation. What is it you Christians believe? Could you explain the message of the cross? Peter says in his letter that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have, but to do this with gentleness and respect. So we should always be prepared to give an answer, to explain our faith. We should always be ready to explain the message of the cross. Paul was accused of being childish, oversimple in his preaching. Well, let me give you a childish illustration of what the message of the cross is. It's as simple as ABC. A means you need to admit that you're a sinner. B means you need to believe that God has done something about that by sending Jesus to die for you on the cross. C means on the basis of that belief, you commit yourself to following Jesus and invite him to come into your life to be your Lord and Saviour. Dead simple, isn't it? A, B, C. Sometimes it's said, the gospel is as simple as A, B, C. The trouble is, a lot of people are D, E, F. And there's a profound truth there. I know you don't spell death like that, but there's a profound truth there. It is so simple it only took me a minute to explain it. And yet people seem to find it difficult to understand. They are deaf. They're spiritually blind, to put it another way. It needs the Holy Spirit to illuminate people's souls, spirits, for them to understand this. But it is simple. Of course, somebody will tell me afterwards, actually it's quite complicated, this business of the cross. Books and books have been written about the atonement. I know they have. I know they have. And they don't all agree with one another either. But we need to stick to the simple truth that the gospel, in its essence, is something that even a child can grasp. And you don't need to have an IQ of 150. I don't know what IQ you do need to have, but it's not very clever. And Jesus did say, didn't he, unless you become like a little child, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus must have obviously intended that the message should be simple enough for a child to understand. The crucial thing is that a person allows the Holy Spirit to give them that spiritual understanding. Without that, the cleverest person will not understand the cross. And that's why Paul is saying, his experience is, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those Greek philosophers, they may have understood Plato and Socrates, etc., and Pythagoras. But when it comes to the gospel, unless the Holy Spirit is illuminating their minds and their hearts, they won't understand it. Paul says the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. And probably most of us have got experience of trying to explain the gospel to friends or family members, and we just can't penetrate. They don't seem to be able to grasp it. I remember a long time ago, shortly after I became a Christian, when I was 18, my grandma trying to understand what I was talking about, and asking me, how can you say, Roger, that Good Friday was good? How can it be good that somebody died on a cross? And she couldn't get it into her head. She couldn't understand it, the message of the cross. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, even a child can understand and be saved. It's not as though Paul wasn't capable of teaching some deep and sophisticated material. He wasn't an intellectual lightweight himself. We know he'd trained under the Jewish rabbi Gamaliel. He'd been to university. He himself was well acquainted with those Greek philosophers and poets. But he made a deliberate policy to stick to the basic message of the cross. Beginning of chapter 2, he says, "When I came to you, brothers, when I came to Corinth, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I think if you put two and two together and link this up with the story in the book of Acts, Paul had only just been to Athens. And we read about this in chapter 17. And Paul gave quite an interesting, eloquent speech to the philosophers gathered in the marketplace in Athens. And we read that one or two people were interested and wanted to meet with him afterwards. But if you look at that speech that Paul delivered in Acts 17, you will find that he did not mention the cross. He mentions the resurrection. And he says God has delivered judgment into the hands of this Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. But he doesn't say anything about the cross. And I guess Paul must have been disappointed somewhat with the results of his visit to Athens. Hardly anybody became a Christian. And so he then travels over to Corinth, and he says, "I resolved, when I came among you, to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." In other words, he learnt from his mistake. We do need to stress the cross. We mustn't leave it out of our preaching and our witness. It's through the message of the cross that God demonstrates his power. "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." That's a wonderful word, that word power. In Greek, it's dunamis. And we get some interesting English words from dunamis. We get dynamite, boom, and we get dynamic, and that's what the word means. And Paul says, it's the gospel, it's the preaching of the cross, which is God's power, God's dynamite, to do what he wants to do in the hearts and the lives of people. So Paul was accused of preaching a simple, barbaric message. And I'm sure that criticism would have stung his pride a bit. Oh dear, I don't like to be told I'm a barbaric preacher, I'm a childish, simplistic preacher. But he'd made up his mind that he would stick to his guns. If he was accused of being foolish, he could take it, because it was God's message. So it was God's foolishness. And he says, God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. We're running an Alpha course at the moment in the church. Many other churches are too. People are hearing the message of the cross. People are being given the opportunity to be saved. And it's through the message of the cross that they will be saved. because that's God's method. But it's not just in Alpha Course that people will get that opportunity. They'll get that opportunity when they talk to you as well. And there'll be lots of opportunities over the coming weeks and the run-up to Christmas, especially when lots of people prick up their ears and listen to what the Christians are saying. Let's remember, when we do get those opportunities, the centrality of the message of the cross. Just one last thing before we move on. There may be some people here this evening who are saying, well, I've never really grasped this message of the cross myself before. And I see now that that's what you need to do. This ABC that you were talking about, it may be that that applies to you this evening. And you're feeling, well, I'm ready to do that now that you've explained it. So I think perhaps we'll just close our eyes and we'll just have a short prayer together. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Sometimes it seems so puzzling that Jesus should die that agonizing death. And it's good. It's good because it's your way of saving us. Lord, we do admit that we all need that. We all need to be forgiven. And so we ask Jesus now to come into our lives, to come into our hearts, to be our Lord and Saviour. Amen.